There's an innate trouble with humanity. We have trouble when we create idols out of one another. When we idolize or idealize one another, we end up glossing over the fact that each of us make mistakes, none of us are perfect, we're all haunted by temptation and the struggle with it. The recent sexual abuse allegations against Jean Vanier prove it. Vanier was the founder of L'Arche, a group committed to radical compassion and humanity for people of all abilities. And because of the allegations that have risen up, one more hero has been taken down, and I use hero in quotes. Guilt aside, there's something in us that needs to look up to people, to ignore their humanity and brokenness that we might have a pattern for our own living. I say all of that with our Lenten theme in mind. As introduced with the kids, we will be exploring the faith and practices of Mr. Rogers. And I'm just curious, hands up if you've ever seen the show. Sweet, awesome, preaching to the crowd. All right, preaching to the choir. For those that don't know, Fred McFeely Rogers was a children's entertainer and educator and host of the PBS show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. With over 900 episodes and a career spanning three decades, Rogers has been in the public eye for a long time, not just because of the recent documentary 2 years ago, Won't You Be My Neighbor?, which we used in Real Theology here, or the more recent movie, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks as Rogers. While this may seem like bandwagon, I'm going to say that I was there first. I've loved him for a very long time. I forgot my mug. I'll bring it next week, I promise. But he was a fascinating individual to me. And there's much to unpack about his life. And unfortunately, the two movies are lovely, but they play into the aforementioned sainthood that we ascribe to one another. He struggled, Fred did, most of his life, with self-confidence and self-image and self-love. His relationship with his own children was complicated, in spite of having great care for other kids. He was known to burst out with anger at some times, and yet roll at other times with a sense of humor. I should probably save it for another one. But supposedly, you know the actor Michael Keaton? Way back, he was known as Michael Douglas, and he worked on the Fred Rogers Show. There's no kids here, right? So Michael Douglas, at the time, Michael Keaton, hid an inflatable person in the closet for Fred to find when he went to find his sweater. And this was in the midst of a rehearsal or taping. And Fred found the inflatable person and danced around the room. As much as we want to deify him, there's such beautiful things that remind us and ground us in his humanity. So I'll give my caution and my deep awareness that I'll try not to spend the next 6 weeks talking about a hero of mine and turn it into too much hero worship. Fred had many opportunities in life. He grew up wanting nothing, as his family was considerably well off. He asked for a piano for one birthday, and his grandmother bought him one. It was the same 9-foot grand piano that he had for the rest of his life. But things and stuff wasn't enough for him. He grew up isolated and lonely and bullied and ostracized. He carried those childhood wounds deep into his life. He found expression through his music and eventually pursued a degree in music. He would talk in several interviews that he could cry through his fingertips. And he used that music degree to gain employment with NBC and eventually helping them produce operas that the network would mount for television. He saw the potential of the growing medium of TV, not just for the education of adults, but the education of children as well. Circumstances were such that he both became an ordained minister in the Presbyterian religion, in the Presbyterian branch of Christianity, and he pursued child development work, which eventually brought him up to Canada. His first show was Mr. Rogers. It was all one word, M-I-S-T-E-R-O-G-R-O-G-E-R-S. And it ran in Canada for several years. Eventually, he felt the pull to raise his children back into the States, and eventually, that's where he started Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS in 1968. That's all background. The reason why I wanted to look at Rogers' faith and life is because, mainly because of the circumstances surrounding his message and his choice to proclaim it at a time that seemed eerily similar to our own. His programming began almost smack dab in the middle of the Vietnam War. It came a few years after JFK's assassination and during the presidency of Richard M. Nixon. Not a year into the PBS program, both Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy were assassinated. It was a divisive, destructive time. And here comes this soft-spoken, slow-speaking man talking about his feelings. Now, as then, I'm sure he came off naive at best and lame, uncool, and boring at worst. Steve, I apologize. So I was sitting next to Charlie when we put on the video. They both wished it was longer, but Charlie said it was boring. And he was right. There's something inherently boring about it. I watched tons of interviews this week. I put it on 2x the speed so that I could not just get through it, but so that Fred would speak at a normal pace. There was something about him that it was just at a different pace than everything else. And yet, he allowed that space to just be, to create a space for people to talk about their feelings, to demonstrate unconditional love and grace. He embodied a faith that was much more than preaching. Just like today's video, he sang songs about taking care of you. I'm taking care of you, taking good care of you. For once I was very little too, now I take care of you. And when I heard that this week, I wondered, how does God take care of us? If we look at the text that Ron shared with us today, the temptation of Christ, of Jesus, it fuels those who would describe an absentee God, one who would leave us to the devils both within and without. And I know some of us get caught up on language here, that in the United Church we don't take a lot of time to talk about devils and temptation and Satan, because honestly they don't have the same power as the God, the Spirit, who ushers Christ into the wilderness, and the same Spirit that dwells with Christ afterwards. So that's my, you're not getting a hell and brimstone sermon today. Sorry. I want to tell you a story. I have a 3-year-old who is very three. So we've been told years ago that it's the terrible twos and the trying threes. We're into full-blown tantrums and uncontrolled feelings, and we're at our wit's end. It's amazing, and I probably should have taken a photo before Sam's birth, because I will be white in about a month. But Sam's favorite phrase right now is, I can't. And he uses this phrase so often that he's convinced himself he can't do anything. The issue as a parent is that if I buy into this, I could do everything for him. It'll certainly mean fewer fights and a quieter house and some beloved black hair, but it doesn't help him at all. It doesn't help him through the struggles of self and ability that he's fighting right now. I wonder if God has that same worry. That if too much is done for us, we grow dependent. If not enough, We doubt presence. There's so much of this world that dances in between these two things. And Fred, in response, sang songs like, "I'm taking care of you." The documentary highlights this problem, the struggle of our faith in the midst of these problems. In one poignant scene, I'm going to show it here, they delve into the Challenger explosion. 1986? I was actually home that day. I was sick watching it on TV. Yeah, 800 years ago. TV, not the internet. What is interesting in this is they just let the complex, conflictual statements hang in the air. And so I'll share this with you. Hopefully you can hear. There's not much to see. It's more the words that are important.
God, no.
How do we put it to children so they will understand? And part of Fred's answer was always to tell children that we, the parents, would take care of them. Sometimes I found that a difficult message myself as the parent of a young child. Sometimes I felt I was lying. I knew that there were things in this world that I couldn't protect my child from.
Sometimes we need to struggle with the tragedy to feel the gravity of love. Love is what keeps us together and afloat.
It was hard to hear her at first, but she talks about Fred's message is that as parents, we're to communicate to those of the next generation that we are taking care of them. And then she says, sometimes I found that a difficult message. Sometimes I felt that I was lying, that there were things in this world that I couldn't protect them from. And beautifully, Fred's words are not an answer necessarily, but they're held in that same tension. Sometimes we need to struggle with the tragedy to feel the gravity of love. Love is what keeps us together and afloat. We talked about with the kids this idea of neighborhood, of being held together and being held in responsibility, being held responsible for one another. But Fred Rogers' return to the mainstream media comes at a time when the political and church and ethnic schisms in our lives have left us looking for help. Look at the world in terms of the response to the indigenous protests these last couple of weeks. If I wanted to divide the church, I'd say one side with the gas company and the other side with the First Nations people. And I'd be out of a job. Because all of us have an opinion informed by the myriad of news and historical reasons that we carry. All of us have experienced such deep and complex histories that if we're not bound together by love, then we'll just pull ourselves apart. Issue after issue, person after person, president after president. Prime Minister after Prime Minister. If we don't find something that connects us together as neighbors, the solution to our world must be complex enough to deal with the humanity of our own hearts and minds, the struggles, the temptations, the worries that we have in ourselves. Because we've totally forgotten what love means. It means to trust in a God who still allows us to face our temptations. Faith in a God who loves us in spite of what we go through, In spite of what we do to ourselves, that is the challenge of our time and the challenge as we continue our journeys throughout Lent. We'll use Fred's words and songs as inspiration throughout that. Thankful for those who lift up the gospel for us, for those who take care of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. As I mentioned,